Thank you. Brian Sylvia, City Finance Director. As mentioned by the chief, it is anticipated the city will realize savings of $724,000 as part of the purchase of streetlights and the conversion of LEDs. That coupled with the reduction in the annual budget for road paving, which is currently at $1 million, will make this project, the combined project of the $3 million borrowed that's already been approved by the voters, this $7 million road and bridge loan program, and then the streetlights, will make it a cost neutral program for 2021 and beyond, as the chief had spoken to. Overall debt service is increasing by $1.2 million. However, as mentioned, we're going to realize savings of $724,000 from streetlights, and we have the ability to reduce our paving budget, thus allowing this project to be cost neutral. The savings associated would be within the city's paving budget, which is $63,290, as well as the streetlight budget, which is $67,224.
So, Brian, when you say the city will save $724,000 on the LED lighting, what's the time frame on that savings? And how does that relate to the time frame involving the cost of the roads?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could introduce Michael D'Amico. Michael is the City of Warwick's consultant for Mayor Joseph Sullivan. He's a financial expert and labor expert, and I think he can speak to some of this.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Just identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is Michael D'Amico. I'm an advisor to the mayor.
Okay, Mike, if you could just speak right into the microphone, because it's...
I know, it's tough to hear in here.
It is. Go ahead.
I believe your question was the time frame for the $724,000 in savings.
Yes.
That's an annual number, and the city hired an energy consultant that calculated those savings for us, and she was able to determine that those savings would extend not only the full 10 years that we would be repaying the bond, but beyond the payment terms of the bond, so that we will be achieving those savings well into the future beyond the 10-year payback period for the bond.
And that annual savings will commence when the streetlight program is completed, correct?
That's correct. After all the streetlights have been replaced, that's correct.
And what is the time frame for completion of the installation of these lights?
I think you're better served,
Bill?
Getting an answer from the chief or from someone
stay
from the
close.
Planning department.
Mike, stay close.
I think someone better from the planning department could answer the timing for replacing the lights.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have Luke Murray, the planning department, also has a consultant work with him on answering that question, if you would.
Luke?
Yes, sir. Luke Murray from the planning department. So we've been working on this effort for over a year with a consultant that National Grid has actually provided to us, RPM. They're an independent consultant and has helped us run pro formas on this. And we're in the midst of selection for a vendor as we speak. So we've narrowed, we had an RFP put out. We crafted the RFP over months to have a technical portion and a price component. The price component
Excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I need to ask for your cooperation with the discussions.
No. So we...
No. Just hold.
Okay.
When we're talking about a $724,000 item, I want to make sure that we can hear and understand what you're saying, and that everyone else can as well.
Sure.
Okay, Luke, go ahead, please. Thank you.
So as I was saying, this is part of a year-long process. We've recently got the bids back. We had 8 bidders. 6 of them qualified through the technical proposal to move forward with price evaluations, which we've now narrowed down to 3. We have interviews scheduled for December 17th. We'll be asking some questions of the vendors, and then we'll be working towards a preferred vendor to recommend to the council. So at that time, we'll have solid numbers because everything was unit priced. So we have an inventory through National Grid, which may or may not be completely accurate. We're going to hone that down. We're going to get the individual package price based on the system that we design because we have different options for the system. And we'll be consulting in-house on what our needs assessment is. And then we'll package that up and come back to council for approval of that bidder. So I would expect that time frame to be early spring by the time we get through that process to design, and we'll come to council for a recommendation. So I would gander to guess at this point, March or April, that we'll be coming before you with the preferred vendor that we recommend.
And you're anticipating a savings of $724,000 a year. I heard it mentioned that.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could ask everyone in the back that is chattering, please go into the waiting area of the hall outside the chambers. I cannot hear this person talk. The chairman has asked you politely 5 times. I cannot hear the discussion. Please go outside the chambers if you're going to ignore the meeting and have a conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. So I believe what was said was that over the 10 years of this bond or loan of $10 million, that it would be paid for from the annual savings of the lights. Is Mike, could you just clarify that? Because I come up with $7,240,000 over 10 years.
The savings will be approximately that's correct. $724,000 per year times 10.
$7,240,000
is the savings from the streetlights. That's correct.
But I thought someone had said that over 10 years, it would essentially pay for the loan of the roads.
If I could correct you, I think what the finance director said was the savings from the streetlights in addition to the savings from the paving line of the budget. If we're going to borrow money for the roads, we no longer need to allocate as much money to the paving line. $1 million was allocated to that line this year. We will now be able to pave roads over the next couple of years using the borrowed money. We can reduce that line at least $500,000, if not more, and that savings will make up the difference needed so that this is cost neutral going forward.
Okay. Chief, Mike, Director, Luke, anyone else have anything else? Anything else to add?
That is all. I just do want to mention that there are several communities that have taken advantage of the program. Streetlights alone for the conversion, Cumberland, East Providence, Hopkinton, North Kingston, Pawtucket, West Warwick, and Westerly. As for the road and bridge portion, I'll read them off. Barrington, Bristol, Burrville, Central Falls, Coventry, Cranston, Cumberland, East Greenwich, East Providence, Hopkinton, Middletown, New Shoreham, Pawtucket, Providence, Warren, and West Warwick. It's a great vehicle. I think the legislature, when they put this together, understood that infrastructure would be challenging. These rates are, you know, monumental in terms of how low they are, maybe less than 1.5%. The cost of materials most likely will go up quicker than my interest rate. So this is a real fundamental crossroads for the city of Warwick, and it is an advantage that we have these conditions in front of us, and moreover, that we're availed to this type of funding.
And Chief, what did you say the interest rate was on this $10 million?
I think blended it's going to be, Michael.
The blended rate among all these loans, the weighted average that we've assumed in our calculations is approximately 1.3%. That's actually slightly higher than the rate would be if we were to issue the loans today. But we factored in that there may be some slight increase in the rates. So it could actually be slightly lower than 1.3%. But for purposes of the fiscal note, we assumed a blended rate, because it's actually 4 separate loans, of 1.3% interest.
So when you say a blended rate, that's the average of all 4 loans?
That's the weighted average of all 4 loans, yes.
I guess probably back to Luke.
Yes, sir.
So Luke, this is a $10 million loan over 10 years to do a whole host of things. Is there any anticipated amount of roads that will be either resurfaced or replaced with this $10 million? In other words, do you have a breakdown of how this $10 million is going
to
be spent?
I'm actually going to defer to the Chief of Staff on that because I'm strictly working on the street lighting.
Okay, thank you.
My apologies. Luke is only doing the street lighting, and I know it's kind of difficult. We have a street light a component to this, and then we have the road resurfacing component. But really, the resurface and reconstruction, it's objectively prioritized. And generally, they're in tranches. And the first tranche is to determine the functional character classification of the roadway. That is it a major arterial roadway? Is it a local roadway? The second thing is a PCI score, which is basically a pavement conditions index, which we'd like to dive in a bit more than we have in the past. There's new technologies that help us with that. And what that is a conditions assessment on these roadways, subsurface, surface, and it gives a little bit more information on the condition and development and index. The third tranche is what I call project readiness in coordination with utility companies. So if a utility company is going to rip up a road and the schedule allows, that's going to be something that balances into what road is on the list. Safety transit routes, so you analyze a major arterial roadway. Maybe there's a school on that. Maybe there's a route here that we really need to pay special attention to. And in the end, it's really about the equitable distribution based on those characteristics. Because you may actually have one particular neighborhood that needs a full reconstruction of a road, which is going to cost 8 times more than just a resurfacing. But a resurfacing might give you additional years. For the first 5 or 10 years, if you get a road in a good condition, a very good condition, it'll be $1 that you spend in that aggregate to improve that versus $8 if that were to go to a condition that is below poor. And the life expectancy is probably 40% less. It's all scientific, and so understanding where you want to put these dollars will determine how the program goes forward. And ultimately, the distribution is going to be dependent on how much each road segment costs. You may have 3 segments that are just a resurfacing that equals 1 reconstruction. So those are the difficult things to kind of put our arms around. We do have a good basis for it. I'd like to see more analysis in this PCI scoring so we can get a better understanding of where we can leverage our money. Because don't forget, when we're looking at utility placement, for every dollar we have, we're leveraging another dollar. So you can extend the taxpayers' use of that money. So and that's how we're going to go forward with it. That's kind of how we've done it before, but I think we're going to be a little bit more specific as to bringing new technology in to look at these roadways.
And this money that we're talking about spending, in addition to that, is we have the arrangement with the grid, correct?
That is correct, sir.
Could you explain that to us?
And that is really where we get into the project readiness and coordination, where if the grid's going to open a road and that road happens to be, say, in poor condition, what a wonderful time for us to do that reconstruction then, because we're matched dollar for dollar for that improvement. So that's why it's really important that if you have 5 roads in one segment, but you only have funding for 2, that you understand which ones are going to get the most bang for the buck. And sometimes a dollar spent in the first, 4 or 5 years of, the first condition assessment that's good works better than a condition assessment that's poor that you got to put that $8 in. So there's a science. We're not the only one in the country that actually goes through this. San Francisco actually had a wonderful program I studied where they did similar thing. They actually went out for infrastructure bonds. We see that the municipal bond as a vehicle for improving infrastructure has been around, for a century. And at this point, with these interest rates that 1.3, it really is a good utilization of the tax dollar. And so that's Mayor Solomon's vision. I know I've spoken to many council a person here about the roads condition. If you come here every month or so, you hit a pothole claim. And we all understand that is an investment that we have to have in the city.
Yeah, I agree. I've got an entire list of pothole road issues, drain issues. I've been looking to address. Mm-hmm. Bill, so with this $10 million, given the comments earlier about increased costs, inflation, et cetera, mm-hmm. What is your best guess for expending the $10 million and getting these roads repaired and drains and some of the paving, drainage, et cetera? What time frame are you basing your decisions on?
It's a good question, and it's a question that many a professional have sat around a table and discussed. And we're looking at a three-year time frame. That is what we would like to see. Depending on the conditions assessment and depending on the cost of the rehabilitation of the mile segments, that could, you know, plus or minus be kicked out further. And I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. If you're doing resurfacing and you're just reclaiming and resurfacing, that is something that you can put in a schedule pretty easily. But if you're going to do a full drainage, or you're going to increase or elevate a roadway because of flooding conditions, then you have more drainage design that has to go along with that, and that kind of pushes out that particular project a little further. 3 years is the target, but it could be a little further than that, depending on what the segmentation analysis, you know, brings forward in terms of the roads to be reconstructed.
And this work that we're talking about doing would, I'd like to say all of it, but would a good portion of this work be done with our own DPW people?
I don't believe so. I believe it'll all be contracted work. I don't believe that we have the capability to do that in-house. I'm sure the director's here to correct me if I'm wrong, but my guess is a vendor would complete that.
But our DPW people do road work, right? We do road repairs, et cetera.
It is a good question, because when we talk about road reconstruction, road repair and maintenance, it's actually many different things. The department could do something like crack sealing, where it doesn't sound fancy, it doesn't sound sexy, but boy, it will really extend the roadway. Roadway's 5-6 years old, it's showing cracks. They can actually go out and seal these cracks. It may extend 2 or 3 years. Because the water doesn't get in the cracks, freeze and thaw, and then you have the potholes. So while it's not the most sexy thing in the world, it's something that the Mayor Solomon has really wanted the DPW to kind of take on, this preventative maintenance, in addition to everything else we're doing. And that stuff could actually be done in-house. What else could be done in-house? Little landscaping on the side. So it's done, we have berms, we fill in the neighbors, you know, lumen seed it. So, you know, it is a partnership, and we've all had this, you know, idea that we can work together. And I think in this one, DPW has shown the ability to be able to do this. This program has actually been going forward a couple of years now, and I think Matt can just kind of speak to some of the roads that have already been addressed to date. But I think this is an appropriate time to address this and other issues. I mean, we talk about LED and the conversion of these lights to a system that is more sustainable, has a longer lifetime, and saves us money. The neighborhoods like the light. We all know that. They it reduces crime, and it improves the safety of vehicles. When you can get a program that is either cost neutral, in this case, saving the city money, and you have a better product for a longer period of time with an amortization schedule that is well underneath the useful life of that product, that surely is a win, and not too many times do we have those that come up to this podium with. And it took a lot of work to get to this point. Many other communities have gone forward with it. So I think both of those working hand in hand are something that the neighborhoods really will look at, enjoy, and be happy about.
And last question, Chief. In addition to this $10 million that we're talking about, are you still anticipating funding the asphalt paving line in the budget, similar to what we've been doing in the past?
I wouldn't anticipate. The funding would probably stay on the crack seal portion of it, but I wouldn't anticipate the level of funding that we had in the past, because there will be no need, because we'll have that allocation. That allocation will be set aside, and okay, also won't be subject to, you know, other pressures, if you know okay what I mean. So, you know, and if we have a program where we can look at, we have, what, 400 miles of local roadways, you know, built in the 50s and 60s and down to the 80s. It's a project that we can get on top of if we start now and we continue with a maintenance program, which is as important as actually the paving.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Yeah.
I have a question.
Mr. President, yes.
I have a question for Mr. D'Amico first. Mr. D'Amico, you were just introduced to the council as a consultant for the city of Warwick. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure my exact title is. It's executive assistant to the mayor, consultant to the mayor's office, something along those lines. Yes.
So you don't know what your position is?
I don't know the title. I know what my job is. I provide financial and labor consulting to the mayor.
And you're an attorney? You're a labor?
I am not an attorney. I'm a financial expert.
And when you say you're a financial expert, do you have any licenses or certifications?
I have a master's in finance. I do
a
not
license.
Have a, there are, I do
you
not
have any license to give anyone advice regarding financial issues?
I'm not aware of a license.
You're not aware of any licenses to that give, the financial industry give, would
I,
have?
I'm Mr. only
D'Amico,
aware of a stockbroker's license.
Let me finish my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So are you aware that when you go to a stock brokerage firm, you know, after the market collapsed, that you have to have licenses to give financial advice to people? And my simple question was, do you have any of those licenses?
You need to have a license to be a stockbroker, and you need to have a license to give personal financial advice okay. for someone to invest their money. I do not have those licenses.
Do no. you have any licenses?
I do not have a license, no.
Did you come before the city council as a consultant? Did you put a bid in before the city council to be a consultant for the city of Warwick?
No, I did not.
And you're not an employee of the city of Warwick, correct?
I'm not an employee, no, I'm on a consulting contract.
What's your compensation a month?
$4,000 per month.
And how many hours a week do you work?
I would say I work approximately for the city, somewhere between 20 and 30 hours a week.
And well, how are you getting paid? Out of what line item?
I'm paid from the mayor's office.
Could I just ask Mr. Harrington to come up here for a second, City Council Solicitor? Could I just ask you about the bid process for the City of Warwick for consultants, what that bid process consists of? And it's by city charter, correct?
It's like any other contract, like has been gone through by the Finance Committee tonight. They go, there's an RFP sent out, and there's a, it comes before the council for approval, the contract does.
And I don't recall Mr. D'Amico coming before the council on any consulting, do you?
I don't recall.
Have you ever met him? Have you ever met him?
No, but I'm not sure where that's
going. Okay. Thank you, Mr. D'Amico.
Any other?
Yes. To go on to paving, Mr. DePasquale. I'm glad this issue of paving came up tonight, because it's the first time that, well, not actually, because I believe Mayor Advedesian suggested this at one time. And I think I followed then Councilman Solomon with regard to bonding. And what bothers me is not that we're paving. That's great. I think it's great we're paving. I was screaming about it when we had $100,000 in the budget for paving. And you were the planning department director, I think, back then, and remember it. that money that we saved for years and years and years went to other places. It went to fill gaps in other services. In September, October, we had the actuaries come before us with regard to pensions and health care. And they had talked about our pension liabilities going up to $453 million and our OPEB liabilities going up to $406. They also talked about the fact that we had gone in 1 year from an annual required contribution for healthcare for $23 million to $34 million in 1 year. And as we all know, as we sit in this audience, the maximum tax increase for the city of Warwick can bring in $8.3 million. So we have an annual required contribution of $34 million, a maximum tax increase of 8.3, and it doesn't get paid. And that's why it keeps going up every year. And I've said this when people have been in the council chamber in the past. I don't know how I can look anybody in the face and tell them that they're going to have benefits when our own actuaries. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I wish everybody was in the council chamber in September when the actuaries that were hired by Mayor Avedisian and Mayor Solomon, who I trust, I respect, I believe what they say, told us that this is unsustainable. All you have to look at is the Coventry Fire District. All you have to look at is Central Falls, what Providence is going through right now, and realize that you're almost $1 billion in unfunded liabilities. I don't know, you know, I couldn't write a check and say, hey, here's $1 million. Good luck cashing it. And when I look at proposals like this, to pave roads, to borrow money to pave roads. Let that sink in for a minute. We're going to borrow money to pave our roads, which is an ordinary and necessary expense that came out of our budget every single year. Maybe we could bond, if it's such a good deal, to pay our electric bill for the next 10 years. Because, you know, maybe you can run the actuarial numbers on that too. I mean, it's gotten so bad. It's gotten so bad that we have to borrow money to pave roads. And in order to justify it, we have to talk about the streetlights that came the previous vote, which I think is great, because I think that streetlights could save us money, especially when 5G comes around and we could put it on the poles and possibly grab money from that. And I know I've talked to you about that before, Mr. DePasquale. But this finance committee has also saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why not use their savings to justify paving? Why do we have to use the street light that was the vote before? Why don't we use savings that we had in other areas to justify paving? I mean, you know, we could justify why we're spending interest on money for paving when it should come out of our annual budget. And what I'm hearing is, now that we're going to do that, we're going to reduce the paving budget to save the extra millions to make up the difference. When I heard Mr. D'Amico testify that, yeah, we're about $3 million short, when I just heard it was revenue neutral. Revenue neutral, except for the $3 million, and we're going to take that from someplace else. Everybody knows that 2% interest is a great interest rate. That is. It's wonderful. But we don't borrow to pay our electric bills. We don't borrow to pay our salaries. We don't borrow to pay the paint the outside of a building. Those are ordinary and necessary expenses. We don't borrow to buy tires. And this is, you know, I think a red light should be going off. Because if we're going to borrow for ordinary and necessary expenses, it should be a light bulb to everybody in this audience as to why. Why do we need to borrow money? And it was in September, when no one was here, that we got the answer. It was over $850 million in unfunded liabilities. And if you looked at that $406 million estimate, and you looked at the ratios they were using, it could have been even higher than that. It's basically close to $1 billion. And it keeps going up. And I don't understand, when we look at the examples around the country of other communities not doing what they were supposed to be doing, not telling the truth about the significance of these issues, not explaining to people that, yeah, when the market takes a downturn, because we've been on a good market the last, you know, few years. I mean, they're predicting not such a good market. If it wasn't for the fact that we had 3 rate decreases this year, I don't know how good the market would be, especially with the trade war with China. But it will come down. And when that market comes down, the city's going to make up the difference. Or do we? Because on paper, everybody's told one thing, okay? But when it comes down to the actual numbers for the actuaries, they don't lie, folks. They don't lie. And what they said was, you have to change those design plans, otherwise people won't have these benefits. Right now it's almost 4 times, just for healthcare, we need 4 maximum tax increases in 1 year to pay our annual required contribution. We all brag about how we pay our annual required contribution for health, for our pensions, but it's silent on the other issues. And I just think, Mr. DePasquale, that this is a great example of how bad things have gotten in the city of Warwick. Because I've been here 21 years, and I have never seen a bond referendum passed like this. Now, you had mentioned $3 million in 2003 was passed. Mm-hmm. General obligation bond. Mm-hmm. Explain the definition of a general obligation bond.
It's brought up to the voters, and the voters approve the allocation of general obligation bonds and full faith of the city. I don't actually know this agenda. I thought we were on paving. I know we talked about a lot of stuff.
Well, what was the bond for? Well, that was my question.
Well, I'm trying to answer.
Sure.
So you've been here 20 years, so clearly you're not surprised at the allocation, since you were part of making every decision for 20 years. So we all knew that the allocation in terms of funding our roadways was never enough. So one could try to twist it to make it seem like going out to bond has a nexus and correlation with an upcoming fire contract or OPEB. I wouldn't go there. What I would say is that Mayor Solomon's for saving the taxpayers' money, and he's doing it here. If this wants to be some kind of foray into another discussion, I'm sure we can have that. And I would certainly say that each contract that was put in front of this body, whether you were on it or not, had a good faith argument by and between the two parties. And you being an attorney know that that's the law, right? So then we can't now at this point say, oh my God, what happened? We had a bargaining unit in the city on one side of each side of the table, and they came to agreement. Things change over a period of time. And this mayor has committed to working to try to move things forward with our bargaining units, right? Not on the side, not as a caboose, but part of our solving. I don't think throwing mud on a city floor on who's to blame about what is very productive. That's my personal opinion.
So you know, Mr. DePasquale, which you skipped over, how I've voted when those issues came up. So I know you want to skip over that. But at the end of the day, when these people come back in 10 or 15 years, I expect you to be here and tell them why they're losing a benefit, because the actuaries were here in September telling them why and what's going to happen. Did you not hear them say that the design benefit plan cannot stay this way? And that if we don't make changes, that it's not sustainable, they won't have it? Or are you going to tell them something different?
I will tell them that right now, loud and clear.
So why are we doing this? There's an Open Meetings Act. We can't be doing what we're doing right now. This is ridiculous.
Mr. DePasquale.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would say that the mayor knows very well what the actuary said and has been for quite a while when he's council president. I know you like to disparage Mr. D'Amico, but he has a tremendous experience throughout the state. And I think you were one of the people that said this should be about discussing ideas, not about disparaging people. Mr. D'Amico was brought in by Mayor Solomon to work through financial issues that he has a tremendous amount of knowledge in other communities, work with labor on making the change. I will get to answer your question. When we heard, and when, in this case, a particular unit heard of the conditions over these years, they came to the bargaining table and put their minds together and were part of the solution. I hate this idea that somehow they weren't part of the solution. Coming forward to this body in a week or so is part of the solution. You may not think it's all. You may think that in 1 6-month period, you should take 60 years of benefits that were negotiated in good faith out. We don't believe that. We believe in people, in process. And process says you get together, you hammer it out, and you address the issues. And we have good people here that understand the issues. These people are out every day. They're either picking up someone's loved one, they're patrolling our streets, they're picking up garbage, they get it, right? So I am very strong in my belief in people. And Mayor Solomon is also very strong in his belief of people. And when you saw the collective bargaining that we'll be addressing, I think you will see substantial changes that should be lauded, not criticized.
So, Mr. So, 2 points. One, I just asked that the charter be followed with regard to Mr. D'Amico. I didn't criticize his credentials. Second, with regard to Mr. Sinopis. With regard to Mr. Sinopis' comment, okay, the $3 million that got us on this discussion, my question to you was, there's a $3 million bond out there from 2003, and it went out to the voters, and I don't recall it being for street paving. And that's what I was asking about. What was it supposed to be for?
I'd like to address a couple of things you said in the little speech that you gave. First of all, I do feel like you questioned my credentials, and I'm not going to engage in a debate about them because I think that I'm well known around the state for my exceptionally strong financial credentials. I've been recognized as such. I've testified in court as an expert witness. Having said that, you made some comparisons which frankly, are ridiculous. You compared bonding for roads to bonding for an electric bill. Any finance professional will tell you that if you have a short-term expense, you should not borrow money for that. And I like to use examples with people's home finances because it hits home. You shouldn't borrow money to pay your grocery bill because you're going to need, those groceries will be gone in a matter of weeks. You should not borrow money to buy clothes for your children because they're going to outgrow those and you'll have to buy new clothes in a matter of weeks. However, if you need to put a new roof on the house and you decide to take out a home equity loan to do so, most financial professionals will tell you that that's a good use of your money and that's a wise decision, especially at low interest rates, because that roof is going to last you 15 or 20 years. An electric bill only lasts you for a month. You get a new electric bill every single month. If you do simple maintenance on a road that might extend the useful life for a year or two, that's one thing. If you're completely rebuilding and repaving a road, the useful life on a road is 10 plus years, and I would ask anyone in this audience if they've ever had the road in front of their home paved more than once in a 10-year period. It does not happen. That is an asset with a useful life in excess of 10 years. That is not the kind of thing that a finance expert would frown upon if you decide to borrow that money rather than paying for it out of pocket. So when you compare that to an electric bill, the comparison is absurd.
So, Mr. D'Amico, I guess we've been doing it wrong for 60 or 70 years.
I would argue...
I mean, we should have been taking out loans the whole time.
I would argue that for a long-term asset, in a period of low interest rates, you should borrow money. Now, if interest rates were 7, 8, 9%, perhaps the result you reach is different. But in a period of low interest rates, for a long-term asset, absolutely. And I do believe many cities and towns in the United States, not just here in Rhode Island, have not sufficiently taken advantage of these extraordinarily low interest rates to borrow money for these long-term items. There are times to borrow and there are times to not. In finance, there are never absolutes. It's always, there's always a matter of degrees. There is a time to borrow money. You should borrow to a certain amount, you shouldn't borrow to excess. But it's never all or nothing. You should never borrow all the time, and you should never, never borrow. This idea that borrowing is bad, full stop, that's not taught in any finance class that I've been a part of. You should not borrow to your maximum, but you should maintain some healthy amount of borrowing. And today, with interest rates below 1.5%, we're at 1.3% for an asset that's going to last you 10 years, a finance professional will tell you that that is a wise investment. If the road were only going to last 3 years, that'd be a different story. That's a short-term item. But these roads will last you in excess of 10 years. And yes, I think there probably were times in the past where the city probably should have taken advantage of borrowing for some items and didn't. Not always. Again, I'm not saying they always should have, but I think there are times that they should have and they didn't. I'm not going to say they did it wrong for 60 years. I think maybe sometimes they did it right and sometimes they miss an opportunity. That happens all every day in business, too. Nobody gets it right 100% of the time. But I think in this case, this is a wise use of the city's money, and this is a wise way to spend this. And I made this comment to someone earlier. If you had $500 million sitting in a savings account somewhere, I still would be saying you're missing an opportunity not to borrow the money for the roads. This is not a matter of do you have the money to pay for it. This is a matter of good financial planning to borrow money for an asset that's going to last you more than 10 years at historically low interest rates.
Thank you. Mr. President, if I may interject, this debate has certainly gone full circle. I think that there was a lot of points and issues put out here. But I'd like to bring it back into exactly what we have in front of us. So, Mr. DePasquale, anything else?
That'll be it. Thank you.
Anyone else behind Mr. DePasquale? Anyone from members of the public? Councilman Ricks, because I saw you first, I don't know who had their hands up first. And let me preface it by asking you, we've had a lot of debate. Continuing forward, keep your comments to the issue at hand.
Thank you, Chairman. I would briefly state that
while I agree on principle that when looking at this particular bond, we have to look at the conditions that we find ourselves in, and this is a great deal with a 2% interest. I don't disagree with Mr. D'Amico that this is a great deal that we should take advantage of, but I would say that the larger picture is also important to keep an eye on here. How exactly did we get into this sort of situation? And it is a reminder that our roads are crumbling, taxes keep going up, the infrastructure, we hear the quarterly reports on water and sewer, those rates are not going to go down, those rates are going to go up, and the infrastructure is in very rough shape. And we have all sorts of other costs that are escalating out of control as well. So in terms of the fiscal impact of the borrowing, the bonds that are in front of us tonight would be a little over $1 million a year. And in the big picture, this all does add up, just as I know that the Finance Committee here has, over the last several years, enacted not just hundreds of thousands of dollars, but found literally millions of dollars of savings, one bid at a time, one step at a time. All of those, dollar here, dollar there, it all adds up. And just the same, a bit over $1 million on these bonds every year for 10 years. In the great picture of things, that also adds up. So I do think that there is merit to looking at the big picture. Thank you.
Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to speak as one of the sponsors of this legislation. I can give you a quick example. If you remember back in January of 2017, one of our first meetings, is my first meeting on the council, a gentleman who lived on Stillwater Drive named Chris came in, and he made one plea to us as a council. He said, please do something about the paving on the road. This is when Council Solomon was the, Mayor Solomon was the council president. And he said, please, I'm replacing my struts. The roads are ridiculous. And this kind of goes into what also was mentioned. I spoke with newly appointed Director Salitro after May, and I said, hey, what can we do about getting this road paved? And Director Salitro, at the time acting director, said, well, you got to understand something. He goes, from looking at it, we can't just repave it. We got to completely resurface and reshape it. And if I'm saying it wrong, please, I apologize, Director. But he educated me. It's a long strip of road, if you're familiar with Stillwater. And the cost was well over $300,000 because of they had to rip everything up, go down to the surface, and then they also added in the other parts. If there was one thing I learned in that first meeting, if there's one thing I know from when I speak to the constituents, when I'm out and going around, no matter what it is the roads, the potholes, the infrastructure, as well as the lighting situations. Every other light post is capped. So to bring it back to 20-19, I support this because I do actually agree with what Mr. D'Amico said, that it's a long-term 1.3% loan. It's going to direct services to our constituents, to the taxpayers. This is a service they pay for. This is a service they expect. And I feel it's our obligation to get it to them, however it's done. But at 1.3, it's done very well. I would also like to say that this also, these roads and repairing of the roads, affects us. We're talking about long-term savings. Our vehicles drive on these roads, our fire trucks, police cars, DPW vehicles. I know that Sandy Lane, speaking with Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis, we've been looking to have Sandy Lane resurfaced or even possibly replaced if need be for some time, because that's where the yards come out. That's where our senior citizens, our Buttonwoods Community Center, excuse me, that's where the Boys and Girls Club is. All those vehicles on that main artery go on that road. That road needs to be repaired. So this is a long-term good solution. This is why my name is on this, and I support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Qualley.
Money is being borrowed simply for infrastructure work, I assume, and it can't be diverted to any other project that the city's doing. Is that correct?
Would someone like to come to the mic and speak to that, please?
The resolution is specific to roadway repair rehabilitation, which is in your package.
Yes. And is the interest rate 2%, and we are factoring in the savings of the $724,000 annually?
No, the interest rate is not 2%. The weighted average estimated interest rate is 1.3. We will not get the final interest rate until we actually issue the bonds, which will not happen for at least another month or two. But today, if we were to issue those bonds today, the interest rate on some bonds would be around 1.2, on others would be around 1.4, but the weighted average would be 1.3. I've heard this number 2% mentioned by several council members. I don't know if that's in your paperwork, but that is not today's interest rate. It's 1.3. The savings are completely separate. You earn the savings regardless. The interest rate is approximately 1.3%.
Well, that's comforting to know. Are we going to be borrowing the $10 million? Are the bonds going to go out for the amount of $10 million?
Yes.
And I assume that the savings from the LED, if someone could say, tell me what is the percentage of electricity that is saved through an LED light as opposed to the lights that we're currently using?
So I have Jerry Drummond here from National Grid who reminded me it's about 70%, but we've run 70. But what's more, so there's two parts of the savings. So one is the actual light itself, the conversion. The other big part of it is we're currently charged by National Grid on a per light basis to maintain the lights. And it's a well-known practice by National Grid to overcharge the cities. Sorry, Jerry, but it's true. So, and it's a well-known, this is why cities and towns are rapidly moving in this direction. We will see significant savings just through the maintenance because we're going from, I think, over $1 million in maintenance we're paying right now to $100,000 per year, $150,000. So we're working numbers now based on the bidders. And the LED technology requires much less maintenance, so those numbers may drive even lower. So we're going to see significant paybacks from this conversion, and we're really excited about it.
What is the life expectancy of the LED lights compared to the ones that we're currently using?
So I believe we're averaging about, correct me if I'm wrong, 20 years?
10-year warranty.
10-year warranty. So it's 10-year warranty, and the first year we have a built-in warranty in the contract for all maintenance. So we're expecting, based on a typical life expectancy, upwards of 20. So obviously after the 10, once they go to warranty, probably like most TVs these days, we'll start seeing some failures, but obviously not to what the high pressure sodiums are today, many of which were pointed out are red capped because we can't afford the electric bill or the exorbitant maintenance costs of those lights.
And the low interest rate is because it's through the infrastructure bank where we're getting the 1.3% in comparison to what would be a current average for an interest rate on a general obligation bond?
If we didn't go through the infrastructure bank, I believe the interest rate would be approximately 1.8%. Adam, is that right? All right, the city's bond advisor is sitting in the audience, so. Yeah, it'd be approximately 1.8% if we did not go through the infrastructure bank.
I'm trying to do the math in my head. That's about 50% more, right?
So that's 0.5 and on a 1.8, so it's about a third. So the savings is about is not quite a third savings by using the infrastructure bank as opposed to going to the market.
One last thing that I wanted to ask was, I didn't follow how we can piggyback on National Grid once we move to this system concerning any work that's done on a road.
Oh, on the roads?
Matthew Salitro, DPW Director for the City of Warwick. So I believe that your question, Councilman, was how can we piggyback on National Grid? National Grid puts their infrastructure going down the road. They give us X amount of dollars per square foot. We agree to do the project management for the pavement restoration, and that's how we get the most bang for our buck. So They go to their furthest sin, which was started a long time before I came here, and that's how we get the money from National Grid.
Well, I understand that that is what is currently going on. Would this project also, would there be any need for the grid to be out there that would affect this project at all or give us the ability to use that piggyback?
Absolutely. System? There'll be direct coordination between all member utilities that are located in the right-of-way so that we can piggyback with their infrastructure improvements as well as implement our own.
Thank you.
Councilman McAllister.
I move favorable action on PCO 20-9. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 9417, formerly bid 2017-147, Rhode Island Telecommunication Service and Installation, hold till January, the first meeting in January, which is January 6th.
Motion to hold January 6th. Seconded.
We have motion to hold. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. PCR 148-17, bid 2018-143, installation of sprinklers, hold till January 6th.
Motion to hold till January 6th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold till January 6th. PCO 21-19, ordinance relative to employee benefits, hold till January 22nd.
Motion to hold till January 22nd.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 181-19, resolution fiscal impact study regarding power outages. So, I think pretty much most people would concur ladies and gentlemen, we will continue with the meeting once the conversation within the chamber has ended. So, PCR 181-19. This is to address the significant costs that everyone in this chamber and everyone that lives in the city of Warwick or does business in the city of Warwick, that employs people in the city of Warwick, lose every time we have these power outages. And I'm not speaking for anyone else, but the power outages that are incurred in my ward, which encompasses residential as well as commercial as well as property. And these costs are significant. They're the cost not only of the homeowner who loses their food and produce, et cetera, in their refrigerators or their freezers. It's also the cost of having to purchase generators to compensate for the power outages. It's the inconvenience. It's the potential harm that comes to folks who are on medical devices, oxygen or other things. It is the inconvenience of not being able to have your dinner or have your heat or have your water. It's the significant costs of the business community and to their employees, including the employees that sitting here right now, that lose if we can't operate or open the doors because the power is out. And it does not seem to be getting any better. These power outages don't seem to be coming any less. And I think it's time that we analyze how much is this costing. When you have venues that can't hold weddings because the power is out, or you have different businesses who work on residential properties that can't do it, and because of the loss that you incur as residents of this city, I believe those numbers are significant. And for years, we on the council have been trying to get a program in place to address these power outages and hold the grid's feet to the fire for these type of problems. We know that a fair amount of these problems are not the results of the wires, but they're the result of the trees. And we need to have a tree trimming budget in place in order to address the problem that we have with these trees taking out the power lines, and we're losing power. And we have many of our employees in the city that are in this room this evening have to work around these energized power lines that are down because the trees took them down. And we have crews that have to go out and clear these trees, and oftentimes we don't know if those lines are still energized or if someone has a generator that is backfeeding into the power lines. And I believe that until we identify what this number is and what the cost is collectively regarding these power outages, I don't think we're going to be able to come up with a plan moving forward to address it. And that is the reasoning for the request of this fiscal impact study, to see what that number is, and then hopefully be able to come together with a plan that's going to address the problems. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Ricks.
I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else would like to be added? Feel free to state. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Qualley.
Do you have any approximation concerning what such a study would cost?
I do not.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 18619, a resolution relative to bond approval for 2020 through 2021 school department projects. Council President Marola, this is not drafted. Council President, your
pleasure. Yes, I spoke to the chair of the school committee today, and we're waiting for bond counsel. I don't know if Mr. DePasquale is here. Do you know, is bond counsel still Ms. Grandy?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know if she's been contacted regarding this?
I do not know.
Can you find out?
I can.
Okay. The school department's requesting the $40 million, a portion of the $40 million that the voters approved last fall be released so they can start their projects for this summer. If they don't get this within the next few weeks, it could delay and they could miss their window for the schools this summer. So we'd like to have bond council draft it and get it to the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Chief. Mr. President, your pleasure on the hold. Hold December 16th.
Motion to hold December 16th.
Seconded.
At the request of the sponsor, we have a motion to hold till December 16th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. And ordinance PCR 187-19, ordinance relative to the ratification of collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Firefighters Local 2748 IAFF AFL-CIO for the period of July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022. Councilman Howe, it's not drafted.
Hold until December 16th.
We have a motion to hold till December 16th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. It is 7:19, and the Finance Committee is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.